Flames Talk is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Flames Talk underway on this Wednesday, December 11th. It is a Wednesday, which is not usually our day to chat to this next gentleman, but because of NHL Board of Governors meetings, we decided to swap. He was on his way home from Florida on Tuesday when we would usually chat to this gentleman, so decided to do it on a Wednesday instead. It's time to check in with NHL insider Frank Saravalli, brought to you by South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit South Trail Chrysler. com. Frank joins us now, Daily Faceoff, dailyfaceoff.com, Amazon, and more. Hello, Frank. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. How are you, Pat?
I'm good, and excited to check in on NHL Board of Governors meetings, and because there was
are
some...
Are you?
I quite am. There was some interesting
Why?
Stuff. Why? I don't know. You had some interesting stuff that you shared, so I'm curious to pick your brain on that. Plus, I'd like to hear about Frank in Florida.
Well, I was going to say, really not... that interesting. I was there for, grand total of about 36 hours, and many of those hours were spent waiting in hotel lobbies for meetings to end. So,
yes.
It's definitely not the two most exhilarating days on the calendar, but this meeting in particular, agenda-wise, there wasn't a whole ton to chew through.
Okay. And we will get there, and I'm excited to. Well, okay, maybe I won't say excited because then you'll make fun of me. I'm slightly interested to find out what
intrigued. How about that?
I'm very moderately intrigued to see what you uncovered at Board of Governors meetings. I wanted to start though by maybe a status report on one thing that I think a lot of people in this market have been monitoring and have been interested in. Frank, as we approach a holiday roster freeze and all that type of stuff, where does Calgary's search for a kind of young center iceman, where do you think that stands right now on December 11th?
On hold. The search is not on hold. The search is ongoing, but it's not been fruitful to this point. I think the Flames have a pretty long list of guys around the league that they're interested in, that would fit their age scheme, that they'd want to target, but they're really difficult transactions to make in season. So you'd have to find a team that's ready to shake things up or willing to do something different, because what we're talking about here are younger guys in the 21 to 24, 25 age range that are pretty significant contributors to their team. Like, we're talking about a top six center that they'd love to get their hands on, that those guys are hard to come by.
Where you talk about a team that might be interested in shaking it up, where does Buffalo fit in that conversation? We heard the interesting news conference from general manager Kevin Adams over the weekend a few days ago. Like, are they a team that, whether it's the Flames or otherwise, would be in that category of maybe looking to shake it up?
Well, they're on the list. I mean, it's what that pecking order looks like, and where do the Preds fit in too, and what about the Rangers, who have already made one move but obviously have more to come? The Red Wings have been awful quiet. The Sens, I mean, there's a whole grouping of teams, it feels like a quarter of the league that's like ready to do something yesterday, that I think I'll put the Sabres on hold for 1 second and just address the Preds, who have lost 8 in a row.
Yeah.
It's been ugly. And I think now the reality is setting in that you can stick a fork in this team and their season's over. We've said that about many teams in the past in December. The math is just, it's really daunting. Like, essentially what the Preds would need to do from now until the end of the season is play at 113-point pace. And I just don't see it coming for a team that is obviously talented that can't seem to get out of its own way. I mean, look at the game last night against the Flames. Like, I mean, What do you I'm at a loss for words of what that was like from a Preds perspective, mm-hmm. no?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, 3-1 goal leads, and once Calgary took their lead, no pushback, like, at all. Until
Yossi gets hurt, and, like, it's like our Pets' heads are falling off. I mean, that's essentially where we're at with the Preds. And so here's the thing. Barry Trotz has a few options on the table, and I'm told that he was really engaged last week, and some teams thought he was closing in on making a deal. Others felt that in conversations with him that he wasn't really sure what to do. A bunch of different ways he could go. And look, I'm not in the business of advising GMs, but if I could, my counsel would be, this season's gone, and you can make a move right now if you really want to. But what you might do in the meantime with a knee-jerk trade is further damage the long-term view of the team. And that, I think, is the biggest trouble you can get yourself in. Mm-hmm. They've been too all over the place. They went from rebuild to, hey, we won 15 games in a row, could have won a playoff series, and went out and spent $100 million and blew that rebuild to smithereens.
Yeah.
I truly do not know what direction they go in next. And talking to one NHL GM today, and he goes, just thinking about their situation gives me anxiety.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, does Barry Trotz even know which way this thing is, like, which way he's going to go?
I mean, just by the sheer whiplash of last year at varying points in the beginning of the year, saying that they're rebuilding, having David Poile on his way out put the rebuild on a tee for you, to then do a complete 180, and now you've got a team that's not winning, that's old, that has expensive long-term deals. I don't know what they do from here. I really don't.
Mm-hmm. What's the Buffalo situation look like for you? I mean, there's been some rumblings about Cousins, and people wonder about Krebs. And is that a general manager in Kevin Adams who's all of a sudden ready to make a move to shake it up and maybe see if he can infuse something different into a group that could miss the playoffs for a 14th straight season?
If he's not, he probably should be, because I don't think we're that far away from seeing Kevin Adams on the hot seat. And I'm not talking out of school when I say that or making any predictions.
Yeah.
Kevin Adams would tell you that himself heading into the year. I mean, he said it in the offseason, it's go time. And he knows that his predecessor only got 3 years in Jason Botterill. This is year 5. And now not only are the fans chanting fire Adams, they're also chanting where is Terry in referencing owner Terry Pegula. I've been in a few situations where, you know, fans are chanting names in arenas, and it never really works out for the people in charge.
Huh.
And when the owner's name starts to get chanted, that's usually when heads roll, because that means they're asking for him to step up and do something. So I think Kevin Adams has been involved in varying discussions. I would add Jack Quinn as a name to your list, because he's been a healthy scratch of late, and I think a player that would have value. And like, you can either make a move or think that your team is good enough to pull out of this. But if it's not, you should be, you know, should get your affairs in order in terms of what the rest of everything looks like.
Yeah. Last kind of Flames adjacent one for you. It seems like every post game show I get asked this on the text line or the phone lines. Lots of people have like just asked in like, hey, are these rumors about Nazem Kadri in Toronto true? To which I say, what rumors? I know there's been speculation. I know there's been people saying, oh, Kadri could be a good fit with the Maple Leafs. But is there anything to that? Like, from what you understand, are those just people connecting dots, or is there more to potentially Kadri being linked to other teams right now?
I don't think there's anything to it right now. I don't think the Flames are in that mode. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Leafs are in that mode yet, to be quite honest. Does Brad Treliving like the player? I mean, he signed him. I would think that that would be a logical step to take. Just like Stan Bowman today claimed Alex Regula off of waivers. He was a Stan Bowman draft pick. Managers have relationships and connections and whatever fondness of Nazem Kadri's game that existed when he signed him and decided to give him a whole pile of money. I'm sure that's still there, just like it was going to get Chris Tanev, who he ultimately brought in. I get why the lines are being drawn. I would just say that for a few different reasons, this one is totally different. He does still have a pretty significant chunk of term left on his deal, and he would be a difficult player to wedge in to their cap right now, almost impossible. So I'm not saying never. I'm just saying I don't see it right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of, I don't think the Flames are eager to be moving on from veterans right now at all. There's still
no. And by the way, I'll throw this out there too. And I can't speak super definitively on it. Brandon Shanahan was the guy who pounded his fist on the table in the playoffs after Kadri made one too many mistakes and said, get this guy out of here. So he's still running the show. And I unless those feelings have changed and unless Brad Treliving has, magical powers, which he might, it's not 100% a total stone cold match.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah. We're chatting with Frank Saravalli. He is our Daily Faceoff NHL insider. He joins us Tuesdays and this week on a Wednesday here on Flames Talk. Okay, let's go to your trip to Florida. What was on the agenda at NHL Board of Governors meetings? What were some of the things that were discussed? And if you were to look at some of the more juicier things that were talked about, what jumped off the page to you, my friend?
I'm selfishly really interested in the Alex Ovechkin pursuit of goal scoring immortality.
Yeah.
And so one of the interesting things was they had the whole TNT crew there, and Wayne Gretzky spoke about the record and the chase, and they did a presentation. But also they were putting together plans for how the league is ultimately going to handle this record pursuit. And they're calling it the Great Chase, GR and the number 8. And they basically were formulating plans, working with networks of okay, on nights that there's games on and Ovi's playing and we're getting close, are we breaking into other games around the league to show these highlights and to show what's actually going on? And then they're also came up with a formal plan of once he gets within 5 games, the commissioner Gary Bettman and Wayne Gretzky are gassing up the NHL's private jet, and they're going to fly city to city following him around so that they're there for when he breaks the record. I know the game's going to be halted. They're going to celebrate and honor him and recognize him quite literally right in the middle of the game. And it's just, I'm sure there's other secrets and surprises in there, but it's kind of cool to hear all of that beginning to come together because he's only 26 away from tying and 27 away from breaking it.
It feels like McGuire, Sosa, feels like Barry Bonds, and as it should. Those are chases that we see once in a lifetime, right? That should be what they're doing, isn't it?
And I think back to those breathless reporting from Sosa and McGuire back in the late 90s and just how memorable of a period of time that was one summer in the childhood. I'm sure for a lot of people and a lot of kids, this would be the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays itself out as we get closer and he gets closer to returning to the lineup, so on and so forth. Did we learn anything more in terms of what next year's salary cap is going to look like or what that number might look like? How close to finalizing that are we and how much of that was on the agenda?
We're pretty far away from getting a number that is actionable. And I know teams would like it. Essentially, the big part of this meeting was formulating their game plan and wish list for how they're going to attack the upcoming collective bargaining agreement negotiations, which are scheduled to kick off in February. That time makes sense. The NHL and NHLPA are going to be spending a lot of time together because of Four Nations Face-Off. So it's an ideal time to sort of have initial conversations. And the cap is not necessarily 100% tied into that for next season. It could be a totally separate conversation, but nonetheless one that needs to be had, because really what it boils down to is the current CBA calls for a 5% increase, and that would take it from 88 to 92.5 million next year. Mm-hmm. Teams have known about that number for a while, since October. And that's one thing that the NHL reiterated to clubs this week at the Board of Governors. However, they could, in conjunction with the NHLPA, negotiate a higher number. But we all know that whenever it becomes a negotiation, that means something's going to be asked for in return. And so is the NHLPA willing to change the escrow percentage? What does the future cap projection and calculation look like? All those things are going to weigh into it. And so I think at the very earliest, we're going to hear a real possible number is going to be March.
Okay.
But I wouldn't be surprised to see it drag on quite a bit longer.
Okay. And what are the, do we know anything about the plans and how they want to attack the CBA negotiations? It sounds like everything's pretty amicable, but you said February is when they're going to start maybe hammering out some details.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is they didn't want to talk with us about details because they haven't shared any with the NHLPA yet, and vice versa. The NHLPA is still gathering their marching orders. I know that they, executive director Marty Walsh is wrapping up his fall tour where he meets with all 32 teams, and they're actually in Philadelphia today. There's only a handful of teams left, and they're trying to find out from players, what's on your wish list? And the NHL had previously asked GMs. They've got, you know, a list of 10 or 12 items. The NHL owners and governors were asked, hey, if you've got something to add to the list, like, by all means, let us know. And everything does seem amicable and optimistic and positive, which is such an odd feeling, because yeah, I've spent way too many days or nights on New York street corners in both the summer and winter, sweating and freezing my ass off. And that's certainly it's an interesting feeling, the optimism. But at the same time, having been there on the street corner one too many times, I've learned to temper that. And these two sides haven't done this dance before with these people leading the group.
Right.
And I think all this talk about how great things are with Marty Walsh, I would say if the NHL thinks that they're going to just bowl him over, like, underestimate the former mayor of Boston at your own peril. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. He's Frank Saravalli, Daily Faceoff NHL Insider. Two more for you before we say goodbye. What's going on with Trevor Zegras and his knee injury? I know you reported earlier this week looking at a second opinion. He sustained that injury about a week ago. What's happening on the Zegras front with Anaheim? Just kind of looked like he was starting to find his game again.
Yeah, although still kind of devoid of joy. I was in Anaheim last week at the Ducks game against, now I'm blanking on who they're playing, Ottawa. And he still didn't have the same juice that his game had been filled with before and creativity. Waiting on an update. I checked in again this afternoon. Nothing new yet, but he's seeking a second opinion. The Ducks wanted their own second opinion. Sounds like it's not all that positive, but again, you never know. And I learned, especially after the Patrick Laine and, you know, knee injury and how devastating that was back in the preseason. Here he is back playing again. We all thought he'd be out for the year. So kind of a sneaky knee injury for Zegras. And, you know, it's been tough to watch for him.
And last one, you know, we talked last week about Colorado's decision to bring in Scott Wedgwood and acquire him from Nashville. And we're kind of like, okay, does it make a little bit more sense what Colorado's plan is now that they've also brought in Mackenzie Blackwood from San Jose? I'm curious as to your thoughts and evaluation of Colorado's total facelift in net.
Well, first off, it's record setting. No team has ever changed out both goalies in their tandem by Christmas that they started opening night with. So we've never seen this before. I think they had really had enough of Alexander Georgiev. I think his act had worn thin. You could hear sort of veiled criticism from both Chris McFarland, who referenced Scott Wedgwood being a better cultural fit. And you heard, you know, kind of similar from Nathan MacKinnon after a post-game interview last night. They needed a breath of fresh air. They spent a while examining the market and came up with Mackenzie Blackwood as the guy that they think can lead this team. As excited as they are about making a move for Blackwood, I would say that by no means are they married to this. Like, they want to see it work. But, you know, if he fails, if Wedgwood fails, this is a championship-contending team in its prime that you cannot see waste away on bad goaltending. And so I would have thought, I would be shocked if they didn't inquire with the Flames about Vladar, just to at least understand the asking price and what he's like as they were going through their process figuring out the market, because Vladar would have been, you know, one of those guys next best available that would have made a lot of sense. And now let's see how it works for Blackwood, who was playing with the pressure off in San Jose and is now going to have to, you know, try and figure out how being the guy works on a contending team. Yep. It seemed like he struggled a little bit with that in New Jersey.
Great stuff, Frank. Appreciate it as always, pal. We will do it again next week. Thanks for being flexible this week, my friend. And thanks as always for the insight. Appreciate it, pal.
Yep, have a good one, Pat.
He is Frank Saravalli. He is our NHL insider. He joins us each week on Flames Talk, and he joins us brought to you by our friends at South Trail Chrysler, where they always make the buying process simple. Look for the big Canadian flag at 130th Ave or visit southtrailchrysler.com. It's Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcast. Pat Steinberg along with you, and thanks for being along with us on this Wednesday. Frank joins us usually on Tuesdays, but because of Board of Governors meetings, joined us on Wednesday this week. Well, Wild Rose Brewery is ready for the holidays with a great lineup of crowd favorites. Purchase the Cherry Porter, Big Hoodoo Lager, or the Herd today at any major retailer around the province or tap room located in the Curry Barracks. The Cherry Porter, Big Hoodoo Lager, or the Herd. Great stocking stuffers. I got to tell you, Cherry Porter is the absolute 100% holiday tradition. You cannot have a lead up to Christmas without the Cherry Porter. You get it in the right glass, the perfect size. It warms you up after a cold day. It's just a perfect way to wrap up a day, or if you're hanging out with friends doing some Christmas cheer, great way to set the tone. Wild Rose Brewery has you covered, knows it's not just about gifts. Need something to bring to Christmas dinner? The Big Hoodoo Lager pairs nicely with turkey. Need a break from shopping? The tap room's open till 10 or 11 p.m. And need a refreshment for a holiday party? The Herd comes in an 8-pack. Wild Rose is always perfect to bring friends together, and it's not just the holiday specials. You ever just looking for a classic 365 days a year? The pink velvet, little velvet fog, and the raspberry. I don't care if it's summertime, spring, Christmas time. You're always getting a 10 out of 10 on the pink velvet. Wild Rose Brewery wishes all Albertans a very happy holiday season. Stop by the tap room, any major retailer, or visit wildrosebrewery.com to purchase your favorite brew for the special people on your list.